The sermon that I am reading this morning is, prepared by Reverend James Pullman. We are constantly being evaluated by ourselves and by other people. Parents and teachers evaluate their children to determine how high a grade they are achieving, or should be able to achieve. Factory laborers are expected to meet a certain quota of production, or else they lose their value, and possibly their jobs. Salespersons are under pressure to meet high volume. Sales to keep their place of value in the corporation. Individuals evaluate themselves if they are meeting the expectations of the larger society. We are also caught in the presence of evaluating people. We evaluate them in different ways, but always we are determining, what value do I place on this person? How, for example, have you evaluated the people next to you in church this morning? Do you look at their clothes first? Well-dressed? I wouldn't want to be caught in a dress like that. Oh, not that tie again. There she sits piously in church even after she wronged me 15 or 20 years ago. Maybe you like the person next to you because he gave you a peppermint or because you didn't have any. You're hoping he will do the same for you when the collection bag comes around. Possibly you are angry at the person next to you. You're saying, why did she get me out of bed to go to church? I wanted to stay in bed. Why can't she let me live my own life? How we evaluate another person reveals our own prejudices. We value the face that has no zits, is free of blemishes, the cover girl perfection, is handsome to behold. Such faces have higher honor than those possessed by pimples. We value those who are well-educated. They receive greater recognition than high school or university dropouts. We value those who have been successful in their profession or trade, those who have a sound economic security are admired more than those who can just make ends meet. We do not place much value on those who need welfare. We praise the athletic body, those who are slim and trim and daring. Those are our heroes. And we cast a pitying eye of a sarcastic one to those who are too heavy, unathletic, or are not the sharpest thinkers in the class. Just put a mentally challenged child in regular school setting and watch what will happen. I have seen six children crowd around one helpless child and mock him for his handicap. The only person that came to his rescue was a younger brother. Or just put one person, not well-dressed, in a group of well-dressed, successful businessmen, and see how much he is welcomed. I see it many mornings when I drive a school van, when only one family member comes on the van. It is like I have stopped to pick up a disease. Children scramble together to avoid sitting with a member of this family. Why? Because they are sick, or there is something else wrong with them? No, because our children have already learned what we are doing as adults. We judge and evaluate people by standards that often have no basis in reality. They simply have been evaluated as being unworthy to be associated with. I wonder, as I drive, what it would be like to come into such a world. What deep hurt can compare to the pain of seeing people scramble because you are coming near them? What would it be like to walk along among people who are successful in their trades when you are unemployed? What pain is there to see your child rejected, pushed aside because he or she is mentally handicapped, has pimples, is fat or clumsy? What is it like to be rejected as unworthy of any real attention because you are of darker skin, you are a woman, or because you have committed an unforgivable sin? Many of us know what it is like, not so much because others have so evaluated us, but because we have evaluated ourselves as being unworthy of attention. We know that we wish we could be. We know what society likes and dislikes. We know how we have failed. We know what we can never become or ever be able to achieve. We are often more critical of ourselves than anyone around us could ever be. What we need is not more evaluation, but a revelation from God about ourselves and others. God speaks a comforting word of good news that teaches us how much value the person next to you has and how much value you yourself have. God's word begins with how we were made. On the sixth day of his creating activity, the Bible reveals that God did something very special. On all the other days, God commanded, and his word had the effect of creating out of nothing. God spoke, and there were fish for the waters. God spoke, and there was sun, the moon, and the planets. God spoke, and there were animals. But on the sixth day, God did something extraordinary special. He made man. He made man differently than he created all the other substances and creatures of his creation. God did not command man into existence. God carefully, specially went about to his task of creating Adam, male and female. God deliberated, says Genesis 1, verse 26. He said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." This does not imply that God did not carefully create all the other creatures of his creation. He did. But it does reveal that God has even more concerned and careful about how he made Adam. Adam was to be a very special creation in comparison to all the other creatures that God had made. Adam, male and female, were special because they were created in the image of God. They stood a head taller than all the rest of God's creation because they alone were made to, image their Lord and Creator. Volumes of books have been written seeking to determine what it means to have been created in God's image. Some of them have been very helpful in making us see clearly the simple message of this passage. We are special because God has made us special. Before we did anything good or bad, before we met any expectation of doing good or evil, God had created us with a position of glory and honor in his creation. We are special because God has made us special. The psalmist sang of this goodness of the Lord on a number of occasions. In Psalm 8, he praised the Lord that in God's goodness he crowned people, men and women, rich and poor, with or without acne, white or yellow, fat or skinny, with glory and honor. He has made us just a little lower than God himself, and has set us above all other creatures. He has so wonderfully made. In Psalm 193, the psalmist becomes very personal and praises God for the way he was made by God, knitted together as it were in his mother's womb. Even then, before the daylight was seen, before any success story could be told, before any failure was experienced, before any value system could be applied, God made him and her special. The psalmist would say of himself, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works, O Lord, are wonderful." Such a value that God places on people makes us reevaluate our ways of evaluating one another. How can we allow ourselves to value the popular and reject the castaway? How can we protect the lives of healthy, productive people, but allow the unborn children to be aborted in the name of individual rights and freedoms of choice? How can we treat our elderly as worthless because they are no longer contributing to society, or because they have become weak and frail? They are still precious because they have been made special by God. Just how special we have been made and are to God can be seen in the responsibility God gives us. He has entrusted his creation to our use and our care. In Genesis 1, verse 26, we read, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." And in verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." I have enjoyed making some special projects with my hands and my tools. When on some occasion I create something I am proud of, I protect that item from damage. When its well-being is threatened, I am like a clucking hen protecting its chicks. I see my pride in having made something that special that reflects the pride revealed in God in his creation. At the end of each day of creation, the scene concludes, and God saw that it was good. At the end of 6 days, when all was completed, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Now God took this creation and all of its perfection and gave it to Adam, the man and woman he had created. He didn't hand over the keys of an old, battered-up jalopy to see how he would do. He gave it, as it were, the keys of the prized car, entrusting its well-being to us. We are special. God trusts us with the perfect creation he has made. More than anything else, however, God makes clear to us how special we are by making a choice. He chose to give us life, and he chose to give death to his only son. He did that at a time when we did not deserve to be valued so high. He gave us Jesus to die our death for us, rather than giving us what we deserve. He promises that eternal life is ours. The punishment we deserve is gone. It is ours as a gift when we believe in Jesus. His son, he valued your life more than he valued the life of his own son. Now Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened by your own unrighteousness, and I will give you rest." Others may not value us highly, but may even consider ourselves unworthy to come close to God. But God values us highly. We are special to God. He values us highly. We must therefore value others as highly as God does. And we must value ourselves as God values us. Before we did a thing or anything evaluated us, God made us in his image. He entrusted his special creation to our care, and he found us worthy to receive the shed blood and crucified body of his son. So remember, all you young ladies, our God says to you today, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Through Jesus' sacrifice, you are saved. So strive to be kind to each other and love one another as you want to be loved. Amen. Shall we pray? Dear Father, we know that we are special in your sight. We pray that you will empower us with your Holy Spirit so that when we leave this place, we will reach out to friends and neighbors and share that love with those that come in contact with us. Make us disciples of Jesus. Amen. I ask you now to rise and receive God's blessing. As we go out into the world, let us remember what we have heard this morning and share that wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ with those that we come in touch with. And I ask the praise team to come up at this time. After the blessing, we will sing Days of Elijah. And again, our wonderful gems will be joining us with the flags. Let us now receive God's blessing as we prepare to go into this world. O God of compassion and love, we pray that you'll bless us and watch over us in love, now and always. Help us to live as your own, forever in your peace. Amen.